In the last few months, we've seen several WordPress theme and plugin companies celebrate their fifth birthday. Now, on the one hand, that's huge. Making enough money to last past your fifth birthday is, in its own right, success for any startup. But on the other hand, it highlights how young our space is. And I'm not sure of any single company I know of that's doing things from a business perspective exactly how they were doing it 5 years ago. Success for them has come from trial and error learning. But with WordPress powering 17% of the web, I can guarantee you three things. One, more people are going to declare that they're a WordPress shop. Two, they're going to suck at it. They're going to do it wrong, and they're going to hurt our overall brand. And three, serious players will be able to better differentiate than ever before. Now, should the spoils of this dynamic only go to companies whose names we all know? Or should we be doing something for the new entrepreneurs in our midst? If we're generous with sharing code, with coding tips and best practices on theme design, is there any reason why business strategy and tactics, along with lessons learned, should be hidden from people? I think not. I love the post one developer wrote as he shared his insights on moving from a developer to a marketer. But we're 5 years in. We should have tons of those articles, not just a few. That's why I think it's critical that we expand our notion of what WordCamps do, so that we can have business tracks at everyone and invest in new entrepreneurs. Additionally, now that we have more help on WordPress TV, people who can't get to a WordCamp should be able to watch from their own computers. Freelancers, small business owners, aspiring theme and plugin developers, we should be investing in them to help them wherever they are. Help them learn pricing, help them learn contracts, help them deliver on-brand experiences that will outweigh the negative dynamics of new market entrants. I'm Chris Lemma, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the depths of internet magic and the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
tough. You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
For the Dradcast, bringing you the latest in WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop. Talking shop with community leaders and innovators.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
Yes!
Now, we bring you your favorite Santan alumni. The craziest prior military geeks you'll ever meet. Your favorite WordPress personalities, Dre Armada and Brad Williams. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
And dead silence.
Hi.
My name is Brad Williams.
Welcome to our show.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm Dre Armada.
I'm Dre Armada, and we made it to episode 5, folks. I'm not even sure what to say about that. Very happy and pleased to welcome Chris Lemma as the host of episode 5 of the Dradcast. Brad, welcome. Chris, how the hell are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Man, I can't complain, and I don't know that anybody would listen if I did. I'm really, really excited about the episode and having you on board here. So it's a big week, a lot of fun stuff going on this weekend and moving on from this weekend. So I'm excited to have you here. Well, I'll tell you, I'm thirsty, so I'm having an adult beverage. I want to know what y'all sipping on. What are you drinking over there, Chris?
Well, in my WP Engine glass, I have my
plug.
I have Malibu and Diet, which is my drink of choice all the time.
Awesome. Delicious.
I got myself a little grub soda, my drink of choice lately, so yummy, yummy.
All right. Me trying to be the most uninteresting man in the world, I'm drinking a Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Yeah. This is, episode 5, what do we got going on here, Mr. Bradford?
Yeah, well, let's talk about our sponsor for this episode, a little company you might have heard of, Dre, called Sucuri.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty cool, I guess. No, they're awesome. So Sucuri is a website security company innovating the way the world fights web-based malware. Sucuri's main services focus on malware detection, alerting, and cleanup for websites. If you're blacklisted or your site has been hacked, check out Sucuri. They're the first person I refer, the first person I call. These guys are awesome. They own that space. Sucuri.net. Check them out.
Thank you. Thank you. And glad to be a sponsor. Awesome. It just kind of worked out that way. So I appreciate you you running through that, Brad. It comes a little
bit. At some point, we'll get sponsorship packages up and we can stop sponsoring our own shows.
This is an ode to procrastination is what it is. Completely procrastinating.
Next week, we swear.
Hey, if we can save it for tomorrow, why do it today? Well, Chris Lima, man, you, for me, I met you now. It's been a couple years, 2011, and it's been a blissful few years, and our relationship has ramped up from there. It's been exciting to see you at different events and to hear you speak. You're about as motivational and crazy enthusiastic as anybody I know, so it's exciting to have you on board today. Let's talk a little bit. Where and why and how, where did this whole WordPress thing come for you, man?
I actually started using WordPress in 2005. So it was I was using a different CMS in .NET, one that a lot of people don't talk about, DNN Nuke, and it was a we were doing corporate stuff with it, and on a weekend at the time I was blogging some on a hosted Typepad, and on the weekend I decided to look at this thing called WordPress, and it was right before the shift to having pages, and so it came across as just a blogging platform. But within a couple months, they delivered 1.5 or 1.5.1, and that's where we saw pages. And at that point, it was like, you can build basically anything with this now because you have static pages as well as the loop. And so I started working with it then, and of course, hacking little bits here and there. I did absolutely everything wrong that you could do because I didn't know that there was a core that you shouldn't touch. But you were just picking things apart and trying things, and I didn't write code to hide something. I just went into the code and just deleted it, and I was like, there, now it's gone. But started using it, started shifting customers, private consulting customers, over to it, and it was just really easy for people to use. Right, they could just get in and say, okay, this is what I do when I want to update my website. Right, and that was a massive shift. From a business perspective, whenever you go from every time the customer wants a change, they have to call me, to every time they want to change, the customer can change it themselves, that's a massive shift, right? On any platform ever. And I just happened to come on board right as WordPress was making that even more available with pages and posts.
Very relevant in the enterprise in terms of decentralizing the capabilities to push and create content. So a new kind of world in itself when you speak big business. Now, that's a early start on a platform that's relatively young, right? So 2005, I got involved end of 2004, early 2005 myself. And I mean, dramatic changes since the advent of WordCamps and how that's all kind of pushed into today. That's where my first involvement with you came about, with WordCamp San Diego 2011. In fact, you were looking to move over to the San Diego area, and you kind of wanted to get involved there. You got involved at WordCamp Orange County and then over San Diego.
Yeah.
What did that push mean for you?
Right. So it was hilarious, right? Because up until that point, I was in the Bay Area. And when you're in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley and all my startups were out there and all the software we were building was big enterprise systems, it was a different thing. And I lived 50 miles inland from San Francisco. So it wasn't like I was going to get to a Silicon Valley or San Francisco meetup on, if there were any, on WordPress. And so I stayed kind of under the radar until we decided we were going to move down here to San Diego. And
whoa, Chris, you stayed under the radar? I find that a little hard to believe.
Yeah. I remember actually talking with Jeffrey Zinn about speaking at WordCamp Orange County, right? And the guy's like, so you've done how many hours on WordPress? And I don't even know you, right? And I'm like, yeah, nobody knows me. That's fine. I do what I do, but I said I'm moving down to Southern California, and it's time to kind of say I'm here. And so there's a lot of community down here. There's a lot of different places to plug in. That's why I met Dre. And
sorry
and
about
so
that.
And I took the first morning session at Orange County a couple years ago, and everyone's still asleep and what have you, and did my thing. I speak 20, 30 times a year across the country. Yeah, that's a great shirt.
Rocking my Orange County shirt.
That's right. So I speak regularly and outside of the WordCamp community. So speaking at a WordCamp was not really difficult. And yet doing it with high energy and getting people engaged and all that really worked out. And so then I started speaking some more.
Well, and Chris, you also have a much longer history around virtual teams, which I love meeting people who have any experience about that, because I know I run a company, it's no secret, it's virtual. Dre, you do too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the WordPress space do, or just technology space in general. So anytime I can meet someone that's been doing it for as long as you have, I don't think I've met someone that's been doing it as long as you have. So How did that come to pass? And you know, tell us about some of your experiences with virtual teams over the years.
So I was one of those guys who was relatively young in the boardroom, right, in a corporate setting. I was, you know, my peers at the director levels in some corporate settings were relatively older than I was. They're probably my age now. And I realized, okay, I need to figure out what the next step is. And so this was back in 95, 96. I've been working at the government research lab, at Berkeley Lab, and the next opportunity, I'd been working with a bunch of VCs and working with startup companies to take some technology out of the lab into the commercial setting. And so there was a startup that had all their staff offshore, off in India. And I thought, this is, you know, very early on, and I thought, wow, if I can just get some of this experience before anybody else, it will be a marketable skill. I didn't realize that the market was going to get fully saturated with a bunch of people. We were all going to do it wrong. It was going to get a bad rap, and then no one was going to touch it for two or three more years. But and by the time we eventually started talking about it again, you know, at that point, everybody had some experience, right? So it was no longer a marketable skill. It wasn't a competitive advantage. But I did start back in 96, 97, had 100 folks that were working for me offshore in India. I'd fly out there every quarter and spend a couple weeks out there, and it was crazy.
I can't even imagine virtual teams in the 90s. Like, I mean, if you just think, I mean, 96, like, I think I first got on the internet around 93, 94.
Yeah, that's about right.
So imagine the tools. Just think back, you know, go way back to 96 and the tools that were available. You didn't have Skype. I mean, Instant Messenger was what, Yahoo. ICQ at the time? Maybe ICQ Yahoo?
And Yahoo Instant Messenger using Java applets instead of IE freaking.
There's no VoIP. Everything's long distance. You're getting charged like however many crazy cents a minute. I mean, how did you do it back then?
I'd fly out somewhere. And
so by managing virtual teams, you would just fly in, management.
I'd fly there, I'd manage people, I'd train them. I started developing at that point what I call 40 mantras. And so it's the core set of things that you help people learn by understanding culture. This is how we do things, right? And then I'd fly home and I'd take a couple people with me, and then they'd come work for us in the city in one of our startups, and they'd work there with the team and they'd understand the culture, and then we'd send them back and bring others and did this back and forth. But you're right. It was a totally different world, right? There was no go-to meeting. There was no sharing screens. So, you know, as I wrote in the book that I think you were reading this weekend, the first time I asked for a wizard, right, I knew what a wizard was. Everybody who used Microsoft Office knew what a wizard was. You know, it was a rectangle. It was dark green. It had a one of four at the top. It had a next and back button on the bottom. And so I said, build me a wizard. I sent them the questions. And I got this huge, long page. It didn't look anything like a wizard. You know, and at that point, you're just like, okay, this is an issue. This isn't an issue of intelligence. This is an issue of exposure. They've just never seen the same things we've seen. We see them all the time, right? So it was an early start. And like I say, the last time I managed everybody all sitting in a room was back then. So since then, I've been doing remote managing of virtual teams and going on for years now.
So you mentioned the book. You have Building and Managing Virtual Teams. You've also done another ebook, Creating a Done-Done Culture. So you have a couple different ebooks out there. You blog a lot. And if anyone listening hasn't seen Chris's blog, chrislima.com, it's awesome. I love it. I mean, you blog sometimes multiple times a day, and they're not just like these rushed kind of half-thought-out posts. They're all very, very good. I mean, it puts me to shame because I blog once a month, and you were laughing at it before the show. So, but how do you do it? I'd love to hear like the day, like what's a typical day for Chris? I mean, you write a lot, you do ebooks, you blog, you're on a lot of podcasts. I mean,
I have a full-time job. Forgot that part.
You have a full-time job. So you're doing all this stuff on the side. I mean, you know, when we asked you for the host intro topic, I mean, how quick was it, Dre, when it showed up like 10 minutes later and it was amazing? And we're like, wow, how'd you do that? You know, it's like, that's the fastest anyone's ever given us that.
Chris, I love you and I hate you.
Well,
are there more hours in your day than there are in mine? Because I feel like there are.
There aren't. But I will say this, right? First is I do have a pretty rigid approach to my schedule. So I know I've talked about it with Dre, but I start my day about 6 in the morning and I go till about 2 in the afternoon, and that's my day job. And from 6 to 2, you won't see a ton of my interaction online. If you see a post posted, it's likely been scheduled to post in the day. I use Buffer and other tools that help on for Twitter and stuff like that. But 6 to 2 is when I'm on calls all day, right? I got staff across the country and in multiple countries, and so we do everything online digitally that way. But at 2 o'clock, about 2:30, I'll wrap up my day, and from 2:30 to 3:30, or from, you know, 3 to 4, depending on the day, that's my downtime. So I will do nothing. I'll go sit in my big chair. I'll rest. I'll sleep. I'll nap. I'll watch some TV. I will do absolutely nothing.
That's your 3 to 4?
Yeah, that's my 3 to 4.
You know, your 3 to 4 is my 9 to 5. I'm just saying.
And then at 4 o'clock, typically 4 to 6 is when I write. So especially if it's a regular post, if it doesn't include a lot of research, I'll write from 4 to 6. At 6 o'clock, we'll start looking at dinner, take the family out, do whatever, and then come back, get them in bed, and from, you know, 8 to midnight, roughly speaking, is time to either do some work or do some research or do some coaching. I advise several companies, and so that's my R&D time. Some of those posts are longer. They're substantive. If you're comparing 5 or 6 different products in a realm, that won't all just get written all in one shot. I'll do the research over 2 or 3 nights, so that'll happen at night. Then I'll go to bed, sleep now about 6 hours, and then pop up and start again.
Congratulations, I think, on the VeloMedia Board of Directors nomination there. Congrats on that. That's awesome. Great company, great folks there too. And I'm looking forward to spending time with them down in San Diego this weekend.
Yeah,
as well.
They're coming down, and they're trying to take, you know, WordPress into the enterprise, and mm-hmm. they're distributed and international, and so it just was a really good fit as we started talking about it. You know, when people get introduced to me, or when people are told, or when I'm told about people, like, oh, you should talk to these guys, they're doing great stuff. Honestly, Dre, I'm sure it happens to you guys. You get to this point where you're like, yeah, they're probably not doing great stuff, right? Like your definition of great and my definition of great are probably just not the same, because my bar's really high. I say no a lot. And so stepping into the bar at Santan is where I met.
Yeah
is where I met VeloMedia and Kareem. And at that point, right, all of a sudden I started listening to what they were doing, and I'm like, yeah, actually they're doing some really great stuff. So
have we not said multiple times in the show that, like, all the big business transactions happen at Santan? I swear they do. So
yeah, exactly.
Awesome. I love hearing stories like that. I mean, it's not just Santan. I feel like it's kind of the I'm assuming that was, you know, after it was that, like, in the evening after one of the events of the day or whatever.
Yeah, it was. I think it was right before we were there for WordCamp Phoenix. So it was after or before the event started, I think.
I mean, I feel like, you know, from a you know, someone who makes a livelihood with WordPress, that's where a lot of the value for WordCamps come, are those networking, meeting people after the at the evening, the after party, meeting people, hanging out, building on those relationships and friendships we've made over the years. So it's always cool to hear about, someone that's met somebody else and there's actually something have come of it. So it's pretty cool to hear that.
Yeah, Kareem and those guys, awesome. So great addition to the team. I'm sure that that, if anything, just pushes them even further along an awesome line and direction that they're taking. So, man, what a history, what a rich set of experiences there, from sitting in a lab at a major university, early days of tech, and especially on the web, to working in various capacities at a high level across large companies, to work into the WordPress world.
Yeah, so my first project at Berkeley Lab was to make video, was to help make video move across the internet, right? And now we're doing a video show over the internet. So it all comes back full circle.
Well, not just a video show, but it's the Dradcast.
The video show.
I'm just saying.
It's the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, and along with a lot of these experiences that we with WordPress and working in the enterprise, and maybe some fundamental shifts in the way that people are starting to view WordPress and its capabilities and opportunities in the enterprise and in business in general, we start to see a fundamental shift where people are in their day-to-day, whether they're designers or they're, you know, plugin or theme developers, and really having to take on multiple roles or bring in new skill sets and learn new skill sets to really market themselves and push themselves into a direction that's going to be able to sustain as a business or maybe mature into that. And WordPress is very young, but it's starting to really kind of head that direction. There was a blog post about that was put out from developer to marketer. It really kind of encompasses that and talks about some of those things that maybe it takes and that are absolutely necessary to be successful as a developer, as you grow from a business perspective. Where are we going as a community, man? I mean, I'm on the outside as a SaaS kind of company, but I've been a part of the development piece, and it's just growing, and it's super cool to see all the things that we're doing in WordPress. Where are we going today? What do we need to do to make ourselves better?
Well, I think, first of all, the article's fantastic, right? So it's by the guy who coded up Soliloquy, which is...
Thomas. Love Thomas. Great guy.
So if you read my post on comparing sliders and performance, Soliloquy was the absolute fastest performing slider out there, right? And so, yeah, Tom's fantastic. The software's great. But what he realized, right, was that, you know, my paraphrase of what he learned is he gets to the point of having this conversation with someone, and at that point, talking about WordPress or talking about a slider or talking about, you know, how it's coded up or how you're doing something asynchronously to improve performance is the wrong conversation, because on the other side of the table, there's a guy looking at you going, look, kid, I don't really care how this thing works. Does it do what I need it to do, right? And so you shift the dialogue from internals and from an engineering perspective to value and to benefits and to, you know, what it delivers. And that's a dialogue that often in the WordPress community we get stuck still talking about custom post types or talking about WordPress or even talking about hosting, you know, we're still missing the guy on the other side of the table is looking at you saying, look, kid, I don't really care about all those details. Tell me if it's going to do what I need it to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's, honestly, it's a great point, a great article, I agree. It's like, all right, I've built this amazing product, but if I'm a techie and that's all I can speak, no one's going to buy this from me because I'm not selling this to techies. Right. Oh, that might be part of your market, but there's a much larger share of your market that aren't techies. And I think that's why we have seen and are seeing a lot of really cool, not just plugins, themes, whatever it may be, that are just aren't out there or aren't as known or as, you know, as trusted, I guess, because the people aren't marketing it the right way. They're saying, hey, here's this great thing, but if their sales pitch is terrible and their website is terrible, I'm not going to trust them. It might be the best thing out there, but I'm not going to trust them if they're not really kind of pitching it to me, you know? So it's a great article. I think you mentioned before, I'd like to see more like this and get some other different perspectives, especially from people like him that are successful with what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
wasn't that the cue for Dre to segue us into something else?
Yeah, Dre's having some technical difficulties.
Was that the Dre cue? Yeah, if I could just say on Thomas is a great guy. I had known him online for a while, and I first met him at Pressnomics last year, and we partnered up to do golf with Bill Erickson and Jared Atkinson. Really smart guy, really great guy. If you ever get the chance to sit down and talk with him, do it, because he's just a really genuine guy, and he has a really fresh approach to stuff. So,
and you discovered that he was good at golf.
Yeah, he is not only good, he has like a 5-year plan to go pro. So he is like really good. So he's the reason we won the golf tournament, because it was a scramble and we played his ball, I think, 99% of the time.
Cheaters. You guys absolutely cheated.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thomas, the ultimate cheater at golf. I love it. But, you know, you need to somehow give value.
By cheating, you mean winning fairly, then, I guess. Yeah. But
Trey, were you on the second place team?
No, actually, I went bowling.
Trey went bowling.
Yeah, there's seats. Wow.
I missed the last part of Pressnomics, the social, because I had someone in our marketing department at Emphasis booked me to speak at the National Association of Realtors, where we do, Emphasis does use WordPress in one of our business sectors, and it's in the real estate space. So he booked me to speak at a national convention, and I was excited to fly out and go to Orlando and speak at the conference. And when I got there, I discovered I was speaking in a pavilion, and then when I entered the area of the pavilion, I discovered it had enough seats for like 7 people. So it was a glorified waste of a trip. And I got to miss out on Thomas golfing and Dre bowling. So this next year, This next year, I'm going for the full Pressnomics experience.
You did not miss out much on my bowling. It was more like eating cheesesteaks and French fries.
I think Barack Obama could beat Dre at bowling with his 36 or whatever it was he scored.
Yeah, but I missed a horse bowling.
This is true. That was kind of creepy. There's pictures of it somewhere.
I saw the pictures right away, and I was like, wow, there's a horse.
Yeah, it's already creepy seeing a man's body with a horse's head, but when you see it bowling, I mean, that just takes the cake. Not much. Yeah, it was just scary. So, really, as we start looking at these things, you know, the whole marketing piece, and really turning into understanding that there's other things that need to happen for you to mature as a developer, as a company. One of those things is, and one of the most important things is, are you providing value? And what is that value to you? What is that value to others and those that may be purchasing your product? As WordPress starts to mature, we've seen, and there's been lots of discussions around themes and plugins and what that pricing should be, the notion that it's online, it's digital, maybe it should be free. Well, recently, a couple weeks ago, we had a discussion here on the show around, I think, the WordPress.com themes and the pricing and how it was starting to increase. Well, there's a new one, Hermes Themes, and a $200 price tag on a theme. I know that if it's providing awesome value and it's serving a purpose and solving a business problem or filling a business need for me, I'm going to pay the money because it ultimately it's going to get me where I need to get.
Right.
Are people starting to think that way about WordPress and the products that it's cultivating?
What I've discovered is that both the plugins and theme developers as well as the community is still back in this it's going to be free and it's going to have to be close to free. And the same people who are building themes, they're doing custom work for customers, are wanting inexpensive tools to do it with, and then they turn around and they get upset when their customers trying to do the exact same thing and bring them to a low price, right?
Yep.
You really can't play it both ways, right? At the end of the day, if you're adding value to your customer, right? If you're saying, look, this is what you need, this is how I'm going to help you, and this is worth $2,000, or this is worth $4,000, to turn around and then say to a plugin developer, look, I need that plugin, and I need it to do all the fancy stuff it does, and I need full-time support because I have a client on the hook, but I would like it for $20, or I would like it for free, and I'm going to send you all sorts of angry tickets, and I'm going to get pissed when you don't respond in 5 minutes, is a fundamental misunderstanding of how the world works, right? So we ought to get to the place where plugins cost more. I know that's not a popular idea, but we ought to get to a place where plugins cost more. We ought to get to a place where people are paying for support at a reasonable and intelligent level that doesn't presume that every single plugin will be sold 10 trillion times to make it cover its own expense, right? Because if we sit here saying that the value of a plugin is $29 or $50 or even $100, we fundamentally misunderstand the value of the guy who's writing that code, and we fundamentally misunderstand the value of the person who's supporting it.
And right? We fundamentally misunderstand the way to scale a product or any type of service. The challenge there is that through school and through experience, we're finding a lot of people, especially in our culture, our community, with the WordPress community, that are able to do some really slick, kick-ass, creative things in terms of development and design. The challenge is there. They don't understand how to scale that. They don't understand the business aspect to that and how to grow that piece. There's a major disconnect there, and I think that we're starting to see business entities or entities with maybe more business savvy, maybe not as technical, being able to kind of bridge that gap. Eventually, we're going to see this continue to mature, but we're not at that place yet, are we?
No. We're still at a place where people fight. They get frustrated. They want stuff for free. Internally as well as customers, and I think at that point it's an education game, right? It's an education game to say, listen, I mean, if you walked up to me and said, okay, Chris, I want this custom look, and you described exactly what you wanted that I was going to have to hand code myself, and then I turned around and found that there was a $200 theme that did it all, I'd be ridiculous. I mean, assuming it's well coded, assuming it's high performant, assuming all those things, I'd be ridiculous not to pay $200 for it.
It's a no-brainer.
Because it's all the work is done. But to say that that's valued at $200 is ridiculous because for the customer is going to say that's worth $2,000, right? And sure, I'm playing a game of arbitrage, and that arbitrage is going to exist for a little bit of time. But the real dynamic is to help those plugin developers and theme developers push prices up to a place where there's real value, where they can support it, right? Because the last thing you want is to buy a plugin that you think is awesome and to use it on five sites, and then discover that the guy's like, yeah, you know what, I can't make this work, I can't make a living this way, and he just closes the whole thing down.
And that's the problem, I think. Like going back to what you said, because they're selling this thing for $5 a pop or ten bucks a pop, and it's not sustainable. And it's a one-off lifetime type license. Well, you might get an initial burst where you make a couple grand, and then it's just you're gonna hit that slow period, and you're screwed because you can't pay your bills, and you have to abandon it. You have to move on. So I think
as an end user, I love lifetime prices, right? Those that first plug-in, the first few months, they're like unlimited developer license, put it on every server, and unlimited for the rest of your life, and all you have to do is pay me $300 up front. I don't really care what it does, I'll pay the $300, right? Now, that's not an announcement for the people watching to send me emails about their plugins, but I'll pay it, because for $300 over the lifetime, if they exist, that's a worthwhile bet.
Yeah, I mean, you get grandfathered in, too. I mean, I've done it with a lot of plugins, and I honestly think it's a great way to launch and to get your name out there and to build a user base to kind of help you, but you have to know that it's not sustainable. You have to know, what's the next step?
You got to flip it to recurring revenue.
All the big ones did it. Gravity Forms started out that way. I think Backup Buddy started out that way. I mean, all the big ones are out that way, and I'm grandfathered into all of them, but now none of them do that. They do it's a one-year recurring license. For support. It doesn't mean your plugin's going to stop working after a year. Right. It just means if you want those automatic updates and you want those support, you lose the automatic update. So if something changes and you need that update, if something changes in WordPress and you have to have it, that's a different story. But yeah, totally agree. And I absolutely agree that, themes, plugins are completely justified. I mean, this theme, that was written, the article was wrote about, is for hotels or motels or anybody basically running rooms, right? So basically, hotels and motels. I mean, if you're running a hotel or a motel or a Holiday Inn, if you can afford $200, you have way bigger issues than your website. You know what I mean? Like, you need to seriously look at yourself. I mean, $200, and this isn't just a theme that looks nice. It does look nice. It's responsive, but it has very specific features for hotels and motels. You can list your rooms with pictures and photo galleries and rates. You can list nearby attractions. So it's not just a pretty theme. It has very specific features to your business, and I think that's what you're paying for. And I wholeheartedly agree. $200 is probably even a little bit low for that, right?
Well, it targets a specific niche, and I don't care if the product is completely garbage. If it's marketed correctly, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it's targeting it correctly and marketing appropriately, it's going to do a fine job. We've already established that, look, doing something awesome isn't good enough. People need to understand that it's there. You need to be able to reach an audience. You need to be able to target an audience and get it out there. That said, where the gap is understanding how to do that, right? And then being able to measure that. Is it being effective? All right. Am I marketing folks appropriately? What is that return on investment? How do I calculate that? How do I create activities that are going to give me my best bang for my buck so that I can target those marketing campaigns, be able to push out this awesome product? Yeah. There's a gap there. We need to educate folks so they're not trapped in a situation where they're running into, damn, I have no milk in the fridge. I need to go back and work at XYZ place because I didn't do a good job of marketing my awesome product. It can be 100% awesome product, but the guy next to you with a shit product that's marketing it 10 times better is going to be profitable over you every single time. Yeah. Where do we move from that? How do we scale that piece of the business in terms of understanding the profit piece of that, or the actual money and the value of something? I know you guys just put out or are working through the ebook piece on that, the pricing for profit ebook. Where did that come into play? I mean, you have some experience there. What would you recommend for folks trying to step in this and really make a successful business?
Well, so I say two things. First is education is critical. And education, I'm talking about education to our own community, education to plugin developers and theme developers and everyone. Because they're not, you think about two guys who say, hey, I mean, you hear it all the time. Oh, we're going to be at this same WordCamp together. Let's sit down and code a theme, or let's sit down and code a plugin. You never have the third guy who's like, I'm the business guy. Let me sit down and build a business model in Excel, right? The third guy's never there because it's just like, let's just code something together. But somewhere at some point, someone has to start saying, we need to educate our core community so that they think it through well. A couple of years ago, I worked with a guy who was building a website for real estate agents. And we sat down and we talked it through. And I'm like, just give it to them all for free. Give it to them all for free. Don't charge them a single penny for a website. Don't charge them for the forms. Don't charge them for the design, because they don't value any of that. Charge them per lead. For every single lead that comes in, hits Gravity Forms, fills in, and sends it off to their phone, charge them, ask them what the value of that lead is. And the guy's like, oh, God, I mean, a lead that actually closes is worth, tens of thousands of dollars. A lead that could be cold is worth maybe a couple thousand bucks. And the guy's like, how about $300 a lead? right? Well, then the developer is completely motivated to make sure he's done everything right, to make sure that's a lead engine. It was a lead engine, and the guy's making tons of money forever, right? And it's better off than saying, here's a one-time $2,000 website. But thinking through value, thinking through what the person on the other side of the table really cares about, takes work. So we ought to be writing ebooks, right? I sat down with James Dolman, and we worked over the course of about 2 weeks to put together this one on pricing. But I have a list of probably 20 or 30 others that I'd love to either collaborate with folks or sit down and write and just get them out for people to say, look, we have to be investing in the business side of the thinking around how we do this right, how we build for profit and sustainability.
Well, sure. You talked about monthly recurring revenue. I couldn't agree more. I mean, make money while you sleep for real, for real. I mean, that's it's just, and it just compounds. I mean, but understanding the fundamentals there, I mean, a cost of acquisition, the acquisition of a customer. Well, I mean, what's that really look like, right? What's the customer lifetime value? How do I calculate those things so that I understand what I'm willing to pay for a lead? Right? Yeah, I mean, where does that all come from?
Absolutely. There's
mathematic formulas that you can break down to give you a really good sense of where you're going, depending on what you're spending, how much you're bringing in, and how you're pricing things.
Yep.
It's important for all the developers in our industry innovating to understand these things, because it's going to make them more successful. And at the end of the day, it's going to give us more kick-ass products to be able to work on and bridge out to folks that really don't understand what WordPress is all about.
You'll lose this mindset of everything should be free. It has to be free, even if I'm running a business. Like,
no
invest
question.
Some freaking money in your business.
Dude, think of it this way. I'll beta a product, and I will put a charge on a beta just to create a barrier to entry. Because I want people that are interested, not people that want shit just because it's free.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
There's things that you can do to start garnering people that really care about what you're doing early on. But it takes an understanding and an awareness and education, their experience to get moving through that.
Absolutely right.
One thing that we're trying to do there is maybe bridge some of the educational piece and awareness and bringing folks together through events like Pressonomics. We had the first one that was put together. We spent some time there at Santan, which is our usual hangout when we're out in the Chandler area.
And sometime we spent a lot of time there, my friend.
Yeah, actually, sponsored by. We should get them to sponsor the What's a Sipping On section. Listen, number two is already in the works, and they just put out a call to speakers for that. I think that's exciting. I think that shows that, hey, look, not only did we kind of change the game in terms of the type of events that we're doing, we're trying to bring some business discussion into a maturing culture and community, but now it was successful. It was validated. We're having another one, and now we're accepting folks to come in and talk. Chris, I would encourage you to speak there. That would be brilliant. I think a lot. You have
there's a link. If you go, you can actually nominate someone.
I didn't realize that on the link. I like the idea. I will probably do that.
Yeah, persuade us a little bit. You know, our votes aren't just easily cast.
No, well, you got a lot of good stuff to say, and a lot of people in the community would benefit, and as a whole, the community would benefit you speaking there. But that's the kind of thing that we need to continue to nourish, right? Is those type of engagements and events and educational places and pieces, so that we're all really working together to grow this thing. There's a competitive landscape and there's businesses involved, and we're all trying to get our piece to really be successful in terms of what we're doing and how we help folks. But if we're not working together, we're not growing this the right way.
And the truth is, I loved Pressonomics, absolutely loved it. I thought it was something that was desperately needed, right? And initially when it first came out, I knew you were going to go because it looked like it was going to be an invitation-based approach, and I knew I probably wasn't going to go. But they opened it up for some tickets, right? And at that point, I would tell just about anyone who's a plugin developer, a theme developer who has any money saved aside, right? That's when you're just like, look, if it's business-oriented, there's so few of these events, I just have to buy a ticket and get out there just to be with folks and talk about it. Now, my particular encouragement was that we should be doing that not just at one-off events, not once a year, right? We ought to be driving it into our WordCamps. And so I got involved with the WordCamp you brought down to San Diego because I'm down here. And so I got involved with this year's organizing committee. And those guys are fantastic, absolutely great. Luke, Chris, Mandy, absolute fantastic folks. And they had experience. They knew what they were doing. I just said, look, leverage where I can, you know, let me help out. But where I really want to try and add value is on Sunday. And so we created a business track on Sunday and went out and talked to some folks, invited them to come speak, got applications as well, looked through those, and assembled, I think, a fantastic group of folks to be speaking on Sunday here. And it's not just happening at San Diego. I mean, obviously this weekend we're going to do it at San Diego, but on top of that, right, I wrote a post about it. I know that the guys organizing over at Miami had already done a survey and heard from people in that community that they wanted business topics. And so David and I chatted a little bit, and they spun up a business track over Miami. So I'll be speaking out there in a couple weeks.
That sounded like a bad breakfast at Denny's, I'm just saying.
And now Reno's doing a business track. I think Chicago's going to spin up one. So there's a lot of WordCamps, I think, that are trying to push into this space.
I love it.
Well, there's I like the value of a regular dev day, and I think that those things can happen. But you're talking about a very small percentage of the actual folks going to the event. They're going to be partaking or even adding major value or learning at a dev day. I've seen somewhere it's like three people show up and just end up going to get some food and a couple beers. When you start looking at this dev track, and if this becomes something that continues to grow in the WordPress community, holy cow, now we're on to something. Now you're talking about two full days of day events that can target different people and can add a significant or tremendous value to the community as a whole, not just individuals. So I'm excited to see where this is going.
Yeah, we did at WordCamp Philly last year. We had one panel on building a business around WordPress. We basically had four people on the panel that all had their own business. Some were freelancers. Some worked with a few different people. And it was packed. And there were a ton of great questions. And it was really interesting to hear the different perspectives from the four different people, because they didn't get together beforehand or talk about what they're going to talk about or talk about their rates or whatever. So it was neat to see how they kind of treat things differently and kind of compare and then hear them going back and forth. And I mean, it was like a really great session. So I absolutely love the idea of an entire track dedicated. Just looking at the schedule for Sunday, I mean, contract management scares the hell out of most people, but man, how necessary is that?
The Sunday schedule would have been even more awesome if you hadn't decided to go hang out with your buddies and skip.
Fake wedding. Yeah. Fake wedding. Listen, here's what we could do, Brad. I know it's a ways off, but in October, and this is a consolation because there's nothing like spending time, quality time, face-to-face with Brad Williams. Come October, there's this event named WordCamp Philadelphia. I can see how awesome it would be to have a redo of that same panel, but you vary it a bit. You get some service contract type folks. You get some developer plugin theme shop type folks and some SaaS people on there. Now SaaS. We're cooking.
Everybody needs more SaaS.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of SaaS.
Well, here's the deal. Now you're getting that variation.
I think it's going to take off. I mean, WordCamp Miami's coming up. I'll be there. I'm speaking. One of my business partners, Lisa Sabin-Wilson, the Lisa Sabin-Wilson, we had her on a couple episodes ago. She's speaking in the business track on scoping projects, which is, anytime you can talk to someone, that's why I loved like Prestonomics so much, because anytime you can talk to someone who's kind of doing the same thing you are doing and has more experience with it, latch onto them, man, and just, get their ear for a minute, and I guarantee you'll walk away. You'll learn one thing, if not 50 things, that you want to go back and think about, or maybe reevaluate how you're doing things. I mean, that's how WebDevSeries has grown like it has. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I've never read a business book on how to run your own business. I didn't go to, like, business school. I literally figured out as I went and talked to people and met people at WordCamps, and I learned a lot from automaticians because they run, obviously, a very successful company, a very large distributed company. They're over 100 employees now, and they're all distributed. So every time I can, I love to sit down with the automatician and pick their ear about what tools they're using and how things are going. I mean, Chris, I got your ebook, and so I'm hitting you up and asking you. And I mean, it's latch on to these people. If somebody knows what you want to know, talk to them. Go buy them a drink, buy them a whatever, an appetizer, and just get their ear for a minute, and you'll walk away with some awesome stuff. So I hope every WordCamp starts having a business track, to be honest.
The only challenge I think that you're going to have as a business track in Philly is if Lisa shows up for people who haven't seen it, it's now available on WordPress TV. But I know we're not supposed to segue to the funny news yet, but Lisa's talk this last year is there, and she's doing it rhyming and in a cat in a hat outfit. And if you put her in the business track in cat in a hat, it's going to be a little difficult to focus, right? But So the costume concept and the business track concept may have some inherent.
Yeah, that was. I don't whether we do again or not. I don't know, but I tell you, the videos we have about 5 videos up. We're slow, but they're going up. So people are going to really see some of these costumes that they weren't able to. Make.
All I know is seeing Brad in a pink tutu is delicious.
Oh man.
It was crazy, man. It was crazy. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's going to continue to mature that way. I think we're going to start to see a lot more camps follow suit. I hope that continues to grow. I hope we see some more events that are strictly business, maybe driven. It's important. It's an important facet of us continuing to innovate. We all got to stick to these things together, whether right, wrong, or indifferent. We're in this thing together, and we're going to help grow it. I think that's the right way to do it. I think inherently, as we continue to mature there from a business perspective, in our individual businesses, we start to see maybe an opening or a door kind of, the crack. You see like the little light coming through it into the enterprise. WordPress has been something that came and stemmed from a blogging platform. It became the world's most impactful content management system, open source content management system. It powers what nearly 20% of the internet today. It has become an application platform, application development, integration point. It's huge. Big companies are starting to take note here and go, wait, there's some value here. How do we penetrate that space? I know that personally, working in the energy sector a couple years ago, trying to integrate WordPress as the content internal content management capable platform for communications was very challenging because of its open source nature. And who's the big business behind it that I'm going to pay to support this thing? Yeah. It was a challenging problem, and they weren't sure how to take it. Although technically it met all the criteria and all the business requirements. How is it going to be supported properly? So where do we go from here in terms of the enterprise? Are they going to start inviting us in? I'm not talking about news sources. I'm talking about real deal, Fortune 100 type companies that need content management capabilities internally.
Right. I mean, as you mentioned, I just started a partnership here with Velo Media, right? And those guys, Cream has a long history of working with a Fortune 50, much less a Fortune 500. And so when you talk to him about what Qualcomm's doing or what Toyota's doing, it's a very different ball game than even when you talk about TechCrunch or others that are news organizations. There's a news dynamic, and that's fantastic, and it's awesome that we can point to that, because when you point to that, you can say, look, we can scale, it can grow. There's nothing inherently wrong with WordPress, and so that's positive. At the same time, you go into in some of these other corporations, it's a different ballgame. And so I think there's a lot of different steps to step into it. I think one of the things that we're doing, that we're seeing in the market that is awesome, is managed hosting providers, right? Because, if you had to say the only way that, the only way that we can do this is if we host it at WordPress.com, there's going to be some challenges. But the fact that we have multiple players, and some of those players are specifically looking in managed care to move into the enterprise. I think you can start saying, look, I can bring an aggregate team. I can bring assemble a group of people who can solve it on multiple different levels, from content management process to authoring to design and infrastructure to development to hosting. Bring them together and say, let's step into the organization and be considered serious. So I think we're at the beginning of this stuff, but I think it's going to look solid.
Yeah, I mean, and there are still some shortfalls. I mean, one of the technical pieces that was kind of I don't want to say showstopper, but it definitely raised some eyebrows, is the editorial process. What does that look like? Typically inside of an organization like that, you have multiple approval authorities, right, and multiple steps that it needs to go through. SharePoint does that really well for document management, though, not really for the creation of content that's going to be consumed by a general public that needs to be maybe decentralized. How do you get those approving authorities and organizations in there in that workflow? So that was that. Maybe it's buildable, but still not quite there today. So there are some resources that need to go into that.
Everything's buildable, baby.
Well, it is, but I mean that goes along with existing business processes, and how do you map that right? Technically, there's costs to that. So there's still, I think, some hurdles to get into that space. But I think you're absolutely right, Chris, and I think we are definitely moving that way. I think that it's got wheels, and I think that it can definitely serve a huge purpose in those big non-news kind of outlet type environments and enterprises. Well, I couldn't. Wow, good stuff altogether. Well, listen, I think that for today really pushes through the pressing topics for episode 5 of the Dradcast. So, what do we got there, Mr. Bradford?
Good question. What do we have? Sponsor segment. That's me. Guess who's sponsored today? Security. I'm much a professional here. Today's episode brought to you by Security. So Security just announced recently they have a new service. I launched a preventative service called Cloud Proxy. Love the name, Dre. Cloud Proxy offers a cloud-based web application firewall, virtual website patching, malicious traffic filtering, and more. Ooh. These features allow Cloud Proxy to automatically stop attacks on your site before they affect your files and visitors, increasing your overall security posture. One of the great side effects of using Cloud Proxy is improved performance to your site. If you're going to become more proactive in your website security practices and want to increase your website performance, email security@info@security.net or hit up Dre on Twitter or email Dre or just go to security.net. They have all the information.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen episode 4, make sure to catch the first few minutes with Tony.
That is that was WordPress scary.
Security is a serious concern that we all need to think about.
Scary, scary. he, with his little black hoodie on and head down. Yeah, it was kind of scary. Well, we've reached the bar tricks, folks. So if you want to kick it off, Chris, I'd love to hear what bar tricks you got for us today.
Sure. So obviously we're talking about business and we're talking about theme developers and plugin developers and how they do their business better and how we help educate them. One of them then is a new company and a new product that just launched. I think it's called Orbiter, but that's only because I'm guessing. There are actually very few vowels in this. So it's orbtr.net. But you'll see it in the show notes, right? Because we have those. But Orbiter.net is all about marketing automation, and it's about marketing automation in the WordPress world. So if you think about it, when someone comes to visit your site and they browse your site and they navigate a set of pages, you don't know what that is. That's behavioral demographics, and you don't have or behavioral information you don't have. Then when they fill in a gravity form, they give you demographic information, their first name, their last name, maybe where they're from, their address. You don't have behavioral. You do have demographic. But what Orbiter does is it marries the two. So all of a sudden, you can then see what people were doing during that session when they were becoming a lead. And then it integrates to MailChimp and other stuff to do automated, putting them in lists and then automated outbound email and putting them in campaigns and all that. So it's incredibly powerful, and price-wise, it's not very expensive. Compared to the players in the space right now, it's one-third the price at the lowest point, and it's one-tenth the price of some of the big players.
Very good. You
Brad, it looks like you have a part two over here.
I have a second, but I didn't know if Brad you were gonna kick in and have one at the last minute.
I have one. I'm resourceful, man. I'm a multitasker. I find my bar trick while you're talking, so I got a good one.
Go for it.
All right, I'll go. My bar trick is actually, hang on, I'll get it. It's cool. my bar trick is actually a Kickstarter project started by John Saddington, who you might know from 8-Bit and also from WPDaily.co. John has actually started a Kickstarter to build a what he is calling PressGram, and it's essentially, he said, it's not just another fill in the blank gram product. It's basically WordPress, powered by WordPress, plus iOS, plus filtered photos. So he's looking to build an app that anyone can use and download for free for WordPress through a Kickstarter project. So definitely check that out. I think this is really cool, though, because I've seen a few, but I haven't seen too many Kickstarters centered around something WordPress specific or something built for WordPress or on top of WordPress. I've seen a couple around, but it's kind of neat to see more of these happening, so I really hope that he gets the funds that he needs. Right now he has about 14,000 pledged, and his goal is 50,000 with 25 days to go. So if you can, go there, donate a few bucks, even if it's a dollar, every dollar is going to help Because I would love to see where this goes. So check it out. It's called
Do It
Ram on Kickstarter.
Make sure to donate today, folks. That would be really awesome. So I have a recurring bar trick as of late, it seems, but we're looking for a PHP developer here at Security. So if you're interested, you need to get a hold of us. We're doing some really cool stuff, some new products and fun stuff going on and launching. We're growing pretty quickly, and it'd be exciting to have you on board if you've got the PHP ops type chops that we're looking for. So
ops chops.
Ops chops, oh, baby. Chops. Make sure to stop over at security.net and drop us your resume. Now, I have one more. I'm kind of excited because I've got a little bit of love for Philly, and I was invited to speak at the Philadelphia WordPress Meetup Group. And that is going to happen tomorrow evening, folks, 7 p.m. Eastern, and we would love to have you kind of check it out. So if you have an opportunity and you're in the local area, you should go hang out with them. I hear that there's some pizza available, and there's nothing better than WordPress security than having pizza. WordPress security with some awesome pizza. Otherwise, if I'm not mistaken, Brad, it's going to be aired live. Is this correct?
Yes, we're going to live stream it. So if you can't make it, we'll tweet it out. Dre, I'm sure you'll tweet it out, so you'll be able to catch Dre's awesome security presentation from afar. You don't have to be in Philly. So get your own pizza and sit on your couch and watch Dre do his magic. So we'll be tweeting those links out, and we'll tweet it from the Dradcast account as well. So if you're following us on Dradcast on Twitter.
Booyah. Yes, we will. So events, upcoming events, and we're going to kind of move through these a little bit quickly. We got WordCamp San Diego this weekend. I'm heading up tomorrow night, so if you're in the area, hit me up. I'd love to say hello to you. Might have a little bit of stuff to hang out, like maybe some t-shirts and fun stuff. So come see me, and I'd love to hang out with you. Saturday, I'll be speaking on WordPress security, so I'm excited for that. This is my first year to kind of be able to sit back and watch the San Diego event and be a part of it, not organizing. So really stoked. Sunday, I was fortunate enough and honored to be invited to speak on the business track as well. So look for me on Sunday, and you can see the schedule there on the WordCamp San Diego website. Coming up here soon, and in fact, being kicked off by the also famous Dradcast show and interviewing Scott Basgard, the actual organizer, is WordSesh. And WordSesh is an all-online event. It's 24 hours of presentations from some brilliant people. In fact, you'd probably pay like huge money to go see if this was an actual full Word camp. So I'm telling you, you need to go check out the event. It looks pretty insane. It's wordsesh.com, if I'm not mistaken. And the schedule's right there on the homepage. So don't miss out on that. That's coming up. I believe it's next Friday or two Fridays from now or something like that.
Hey, April 13th.
Okay, so
All times will be UTC. So if you're in the United States, it'll actually start Friday night at 7 Eastern.
Eastern.
So it starts at 0:00 UTC. Yeah, wordsesh.com or .org, they both get you there, and there's a list. But just remember, it's UTC. So the U.S., it's starting on Friday night.
Beautiful. And one of the other events that's coming up right now, and I think that two out of the three that are on the show today are going to be down there for that, is WordCamp Miami. That'll be April 6th through the 7th. We've got a few folks. I don't know. Chris, are you speaking there?
Yep, I'm speaking on virtual teams there.
So Chris is speaking, and Brad. And Brad, you're speaking as well, aren't you?
I'm just heckling. No, I'm speaking. I'm speaking on using WordPress as an application framework. So I'm excited to show some cool things we built and to also just talk about, using WordPress in ways that you may not think you can use WordPress and get people kind of thinking outside of the box when it comes to WordPress development.
I love it. I wish I was heading down. I unfortunately won't be making it this year. I'd like to go spend some time with my Cuban heritage.
Miami.
Won't be down there, man. A cortado would be delicious. So that's the big events coming up. I'm sure there's other stuff on the schedule, but those are the big ones that we'll be a part of here coming soon. That's it. We're closing the show here. Chris, you got any closing words for everybody? Where can we find you?
You can find me at christhumma.com. I blog there daily, so you can subscribe and get it in your inbox. You can follow me on Chris Thumma or at Chris Thumma on Twitter. And I'm online and around and about. So,
Brad, you got anything going on there, my brother?
Sure. Williams BA on Twitter, and I'll give a quick shout out to Nikki, who's watching us in the chat, and it's her birthday coming up in a couple days. She wanted us to say happy birthday, so happy birthday, Nikki.
Well, I love it. I'll tell you what, Chris, thanks for coming on board. You are one of my favorite people on the in the world. Congratulations on everything you've got going on, the Vela Media Board of Directors. That's awesome. Great folks there, great involvement. WordCamp San Diego, looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be a brilliant event. I have no doubt of that. So I look forward to seeing you this weekend. Folks, thanks for tuning in. This is Dre and Brad Williams with Episode 5 of the Dradcast, hosted by Chris Lemma. Folks, that's the Dradcast, and we're out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus some new guest hosts next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Yeah.